గోపికాందా రాధకాందా నమస్తుతే సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగే రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి శిశపాన్నోస్తు తే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంజకల్పద్రువ్యశ్చా కృపాసింధువ్యరేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద ప్రియ ద్వైత గదాధర సుభాసతి గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
అశ్వత్థవా సర్వృక్షాణం దేవర్షిణం చ నారద గంధర్వాణం చిత్రదా చిత్తానాం కపిలో ముని. సో నౌ వి ఆర్ ద సెక్షన్ వేర్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ట్రైంగ్ టు గివ్ సమ్ గ్లింప్స్ అబౌట్ హిమ్. సీ ఆల్వేస్ వెన్ యూ టాక్ అబౌట్ యూ ఆల్సో వాంట్ టు నో అబౌట్ ద లార్డ్. సమ్ ఆఫ్ అస్ యు నో వీ కెన్ టేక్ ఇట్ యాస్ యు నో ఇట్స్ అ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ అ బ్రాగ్. Boasting, telling about myself is always considered like boasting. But this one is not boasting. The Lord, he compared with anything here, or he is saying he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not boasting. Because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Boasting means you are saying something which you are not. That is boasting. So therefore, he is giving his friend whatever he is, and the fact is he is limitless. He cannot be compared with anything. There's nothing in this world which is even very close, or even, you know, he is very 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 far away. But even then, for our benefit, he is taking the best of the best that we can imagine or we know in this material world. So in that, he is giving a small little comparison, and for the last few verses he has been comparing with so many great, great, great things in this world. So today he is again comparing himself, okay, he is telling among the trees, banyan tree, and among the devadas and sages, greatest of sages and Narada Muni, and the Gandharvas, Chitradaha, and among them, and others, and then among sages, Kapila. So you see, all these are, you know, comparison only, just to give a glimpse of this thing, otherwise we will not know exactly how he, where he stands. So now, when you talk about trees, banyan tree is very very auspicious. It's a very auspicious tree. It's not its root comes from the top. It comes from the top and it goes down. See, it's all special. And if you notice, this banyan tree, it is so huge. And if you know the name Ashwata, Ashwada is written there. The meaning of that is actually very long lifespan. It doesn't die easily. Actually, the right meaning is it doesn't die quickly, because it has such a long life. Okay, so this banyan tree is something special. In the Skanda Purana, it is stated that a devotee should offer water to the tulsi plant and these amalaka trees. That water. And what you get, he should offer respect to the cows, to the brahmanas, and should serve Vaishnavas by offering them respectful obeisances. All this process will help devotees to diminish the reactions of their past sinful life. So if we are thinking of clearing sinful life, this is one of the process. We water tulasi. We water this great, wonderful, great plant, banyan trees and all that. These are all processes which can help us to clear our sinful activities. But at the same time, don't commit new sin. Because if we keep on committing new sin, then there's no use. No? It's just like an elephant taking bath. So what is the meaning here is that let us do some nice process, and as a result, we will be purified and we will stop doing all these sinful activities. And as a result, we also will attain perfection. So this again, the same thing, we find that in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives 64 regulative principles to follow. Okay, in order to attain the highest platform of devotional service, if one wants to actually even to do devotional service and perfect himself even further, devotional service can be on the lowest level and the very high level. High level is where you enjoy every minute of doing it for the Lord. Okay, so this is, and your love just grows. This is perfect devotional service. So if you want to attain perfection, then he also says, out of the 64 regulative principles, one of the regulative principles is the same thing, to worship cows, brahmanas, vaishnavas, and sacred trees like the banyan tree. See? So that is why banyan tree is not an ordinary kind of tree that we can actually see. And the same thing is also in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami is also saying the same principle, please worship the sacred trees like banyan tree in order to discharge devotional service. See, if you are having problem in discharging devotional service, then this is one of the methods. Water the banyan tree. And when we look at this banyan tree, it is really, it's very beautiful, because you find that the tree having the roots coming down, and this is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The material world is just the reverse of the, and banyan tree is one of the typical examples. It's just the reverse, where the root is coming down from the top, and then it goes down into the ground. That root from the top, it goes down into the... So, and the tree is so huge and very, very tall and stays and lives a long, 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 long time. You can easily stay a few thousand years, no problem. Its lifespan is very, very long. So, it is considered to be one of the sacred trees. Okay? And in Bhagavadam, it says that in Jambudvip, they had this banyan tree, which is about the width is about 800 miles. I mean, we can't imagine. It is really very, 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 very big, the width. And even its spread and the height is about 8,800 miles, which is very, very, very tall. We can't imagine whether this kind of tree do exist. But they do. It was in the past, of course. But even now you can see the banyan trees are quite big compared to many other trees. And again, the spread, just the branches and all these, you can just spread to about 8,800 miles. That's very, very, one tree is about something like maybe half the size of Singapore. Very big. Very big tree. And this life, the lifespan, that's why you see the lifespan of it is so long that ours is considered very, very small. Our Kali Yuga lifespan is considered very small. And yet, it doesn't rot, it doesn't, you know, the wood and all this, it just goes on, regenerating, it goes on. He can bear so many millions of trees in from one tree. Because the fruit, it bears the fruit, and the fruit, inside the fruit there are so many thousands of trees. And one tree can bear millions of. This is the potency of the Lord. How he can generate one from the other. It is not something like, you know, very not seen in this world or what. This is something we can see. That's why he is comparing it. That among trees, I am such and such a tree. So when we look at such a tree and such huge, big tree, he can just have the feeling of how Krishna is, how powerful is this thing to be, potency, as a tree. Because for the Lord, all living entity, all forms, all kinds of forms that we see here, has no difference. He can come in any of the forms. He is so vicious, okay? According to his wish, he can take the incarnation and he can expand himself and come as any form. Like Bo incarnation and all that, he is coming as Bo. And we think, oh, Bo is a very, no, he is transcendental. That is, spiritual form he is coming. So therefore, in trees also, and in Vrindavan if you see, there are so many trees. Very, very old. Very, very old. And some of them are as old as when Krishna was around. So old. So can you imagine, in every species there is a special kind of some wonder. For us it's a wonder. So again, in banyan, about this banyan tree, there are many, many places in Bhagavatam you find that it's mentioned, where you find, you know, the time when in Mahabharata, Krishna was finishing his pastime. He finished his pastime and all that, and he was about to go. Okay, he was about to leave. So before he left, he went down and then he started leaning and he was sitting against, you know, he was lying down with his leg up, his right leg on his left leg on top, and he was just taking rest on a banyan tree. You see, even when taking rest in many things, you see, the Lord has some kind of mercy for special beings. So the banyan tree is also a special. So similarly, one other thing we can remember is this Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi was a great Rishi, and he was actually, he could hold the Lord in the heart. He's such a great devotee that he loves the Lord and he is completely in meditation, and his yoga is not the kind of yoga we are talking about. He is completely immersed in the Lord's beauty. He is thinking of the Lord and completely is thinking of the Lord and nothing else. So focused that at one time he was thinking, the Lord is fantastic, you know, how wondrous he is and all this. And even his material nature, his material things that he does, his material world, his cosmic manifestation itself is so wonderful, so splendorous. So he was thinking, how is this all, you know, I just wonder how it all happened. So the dissolution, he was asking the Lord. When the Lord appeared, he asked, Lord, can you just show me a little, you know, of this Maya world, what is your illusory energy is like? So he said, really, you want to see that? Because it is not worth. Because the kind of trouble and problem we have to go through, the distress we have to go through is so great. But he said, well, that's a small desire in my heart. I just wanted to know. Because you are so splendorous and everything. Not only your spiritual side is so splendorous, even your material side is so wonderful. So I just want to know a little of this. So the Lord said, all right, you can have it. Immediately, you know, he got it, and then he find that, you know, he was in the island and he was put into an island whereby he was just staying, and you see the dissolution taking place, where the whole thing has been dissoluted, the whole area is devastated with water, and he is also being dragged in the water, and he was sinking and he was suffering in the water, so much so, and then he was, you know, and then from the very first, from the far side he could see. That is, he went on suffering like this in distress for some time. Then he saw, wow, this is terrible. Why did I ask for all this? It's not worth. Because the kind of suffering he has to go through, tossed in the water of annihilation, is terrible. Because that water is not the normal, you know. It's not the normal flood that we think of, you know, the flash floods and all this. No, that flood is nothing. So he was tossing and jumping and going, and he doesn't know how to control himself. Then the Lord, you know, put him on this thing, and then suddenly he saw from very far away a small baby, you know, was sleeping on this banyan leaf, one big banyan leaf. And he was sleeping, and that baby boy was sucking the toe. That was Krishna. So he saw, wow, this is fantastic. And so when he went near and tried to see, but he could not. You see, the illusory. And then after some time, he said, no, this illusory energy is too powerful for me. He is a great yogi. He could overcome so many things. He could go to any other planet here, there, travel with all power, mighty. But the illusory energy was too powerful for him. So, here again you see, the Lord is choosing the banyan tree to go and sleep. Sleeping on a banyan tree. So these are something, you know, where the Lord chooses. Not that he goes and, you know, he wants a leaf to exhibit his pastime. Any leaf will do. A banana leaf will come. No. No, he doesn't go for banana leaf. Banyan tree. So banyan tree is very, very a great thing which we have to know. That's why we don't cut down. We have seen in India there are many, many places where banyan tree grows, and if we have to build, somehow or other we have to build a house, nobody cuts it down. They will try to succumb in it. Either try to avoid it. If cannot avoid, never mind. Let it be in the center of the house. You know, just let it be in the center of the house, and the surrounding will be the courtyard, and then the rooms and all will come. And in the center this banyan tree grows. And it's very auspicious. It is said, if you can get like that, you're very auspicious. Your house is very, very auspicious. So that is why he is comparing with banyan tree. Not any other tree. And then he compares with Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, as you know, so Narada is actually, it's explained in Bhagavatam 3.12.23. Nara means the Supreme Lord. Okay? Nara means the Supreme Lord. And Da means one who can deliver. Please don't mistake that one who can deliver the Lord. Okay? It's not deliver the Lord. He can give the Lord to others. he can give the transcendental loving service to others. Okay? It just means that Narada can deliver to anyone the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As servitor, as friend, as parent or lover. That means the ras, all the main ras, all he can deliver. That means what kind of a personality he must be. He is not an ordinary human being. Okay? He is not an ordinary human being. In the our Indian movies, he is depicted sometimes as some comical character. He is not a rasul. Okay, he is not a kind of a buffoon, no? Trying to give some joke, no. He is a great, great, great personality. If he can give transcendental love, he can actually enlighten someone and bring out the love of Godhead from a person. Means you can imagine how great he must be. He is a great devotee. He's a very great devotee. And mind you, and therefore, he is one of the 12 Mahajans. He is one of the 12 Mahajans. The pure devotee, okay? And the others, to compare with, just to know, if he is the 12, he is one of the 12 Mahajans, then who are these 11 people? All the other great personalities. Brahma, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, the Kumaras, Kapila Muni. See, again, he is comparing, again the next one is comparing with Kapila Muni only. Kapila Muni, Bhishma, Prahlad, Yamaraj, Bali, Janaka, King Janaka, and Sukadeva Goswami. All these are the other 11. Just imagine how great they are. All these 11 are great, 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 great personalities. Narada is compared to them. And many of our people in the movie world, they take it as a cartoon. He creates jokes. You ask him about devotional service, you ask him about Bhagavatam, he will explain. He will give you pinpoint, accurate and wonderful explanation. Okay? So this is someone. And then he is not an ordinary person because he is also a guru. He is a spiritual master. Okay? And his guru is Lord Brahma. That is his father. Okay? He is the son of Lord Brahma. And he is a guru. And his disciple, Vyasadev is his disciple besides others. So many others. But Vyasadeva is one of the most prominent ones. Vyasadeva is no different from, he is also an expansion of the Lord. So if you can imagine, if he is the spiritual master of the expansion of the Lord, Vyasadeva, then what is his position? So, and at the same time, please remember that he is also in line with our sampradaya. Okay, he is in our sampradaya. He is in Gaudiya Madhava. Brahma Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. Okay, he is in our sampradaya. So, because as you know, Brahma is the guru and he is actually the one teaching. Brahma got all his teaching directly from Krishna. That's why he is the leader in our sampradaya. All the four great personalities who lead the thing, all got direct instruction from Krishna. So similarly, Brahma also got, and Brahma directly gave that instruction to Narada. And of course, in our this thing, the sampradaya, it is coming down from Brahma, Narada, then Vyasa, then Madhavmani, and then we go down, and I don't go too much of that, and then we come to Madhavendra Puri, which is our quite recent one. Madhavendra Puri, then Ishwara Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Swarup Damodar, then Rupa Goswami, then the others where it comes to Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Gopkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And then he is coming down to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and then finally to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. So you just see, if he is in our line, and Krishna is comparing. That is why the sampradaya that we are having, and our sampradaya is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came and he revitalized the whole thing again. So it's bona fide, and you can be rest assured you are on the right path. You are definitely on the right path if you take on to Mahaprabhu. So Narada Muni is also in that line, and he has actually enlightened so many great personalities in this world and made them great, very great, pure devotees. This is his specialty. It's not that that he has it and he keeps. He is the number one preacher. Krishna's number one preacher is Narada Muni. He is the one who can keep on his tongue. It's always chanting his name of the Lord. Always singing. And he carries the veena. That again, he's a good singer. He's a very good singer. But last time once, there is one story where, you know, he went, his Gandharva Lok. And so he was doing his singing. And finally what happened was, he was stopped. He was stopped by this Chitraraj, and he told him, "Hey, come on, what do you think you are singing? Your sudhi is off, your tala is not in, so many things are off, and what are you singing? How do you sing? How are you glorifying the Lord?" And you are told, "You better go and see Saraswati Mata and take lesson from her. How to sing and get that art of singing." Say, "No, it's wrong, because the different time, period of the day, different tunes." That is why sometimes in even in ISKCON temples, you see the song, they sing different tune at different time of the day. Morning they sing one, they sing in the evening another tune, the same one, something like that. And the same thing goes to this mridanga. You know, you see mridanga being beaten like anything, like up, down, anywhere, you know, the beat go here or what, never mind. No. You will stop immediately. And they say, "No, it's Balaram who is giving the enthusiasm, he gives the boost." That's why mridanga is very powerful. He gives the boost. And so the singer gets the enthusiasm from that. So if the mridanga is not going on the right track, then it's gone. Everything is gone. So similarly, Narada Muni, after that he went. Yes, he went. He said, "Yes, I am not very good at singing. At least these people are very frank." He told me straight like this. So he went. And he got a nice lesson from Mother Saraswati. You can imagine how great he must be. He can just walk into Brahmalok. Any lok. He has passport and visa for any lok, including spiritual world. Vaikuntha also he can go anytime he wants. But the great munis and all these here doing tapasya for 20,000-30,000 years in the world, in even Satya Yugas and all these they are doing, they cannot go to the Vaikuntha. They can only go to the higher planetary Swargalok, but not to Vaikuntha. Cannot go. But not only he can just go. He's such a great personality. So, here, he can go anywhere. Why? Because he represents himself as authorized by the Lord, and his appearance is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. This is in 281. He's saying, he's not ordinary. He's as good as the Lord. Because he can give laws, then what must be his position? And again, in Bhagavatam is also it is said that 113, where you find where did Bhagavatam came from? It was brought down by Narada Muni from the spiritual world. Otherwise, we have no Marg Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam was also he used the person who was actually asked Vyasadeva to write that, compile that, please compile that, because that is the one missing now. So he is the one who brought for us this great Bhagavatam down. So he is such a great, if the Lord gives all this kind of thing to him, that means he is such a great devotee. So, and so that is, he gave it to his disciple, Vyasadeva Bhagavan. And Vyasadeva Bhagavan compiled it for us. And later, of course, you know, he went to Sugriva Goswami, his son, Vyasadeva's son. So, like that, and also in many, many parts, you know, the, he was involved in the, where the devotees, where so many great devotees took birth, Narada Muni is definitely in. If you were to go and check the word Narada in the Bhagavatam, you will find that is more probably his name is the second most compared to Krishna. After Krishna, his name is the most. Can you imagine how great? Everywhere he is involved. All the great, great pastimes he is involved. So therefore, to talk about his pastime, this one class is never enough. Again, we can go on for days and months. Such a great personality. Just to touch a few, just one or two, just touch. Prahlad Maharaj is one of them. He instructed Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother. When Hiranyakashipu went for his tapas, he went to do yoga. So he was conceiving and you know, he was looking after. When the demigods were trying to kill, because he's a demon, demon son. So demon son must be also equally bad. So therefore, better kill before he comes out. Because Hiranyakashipu is so terrible. So his son must be even terrible, more terrible. So therefore he said better kill. And Narada Muni was the one who actually talking. Told them, no, the great, great, great devotee is coming. On the way. So please don't kill. Then the Devaraj gave up the idea of killing. And then he went down and instructed. He was speaking this sign of self-realization, this Bhagavatam, to him. That is why, you see, even when the child is in the womb, the child can hear. Actually, he hears better now, because he has no other disturbance. So at least he is put into a position where he has to hear, people hear. That's why the mothers, very important, chanting. When they are conceiving, please chant. Before conceiving, chant. While conceiving, chant. And the child will definitely that sound vibration can penetrate right through into the child, and the child will be definitely a great Krishna conscious devotee. He will definitely become a great devotee. So these are very important. So therefore he is talking to Prahlad, and Prahlad became one of the greatest. Only at the age of 5 he already greatest. See how a pure devotee like Narada Muni can give the blessing and come. He is just been pulled up to such a great height. And then you will also notice that Dhruva Maharaj also said. Dhruva Maharaj, after he left his mother, because his father don't allow him to sit on his lap, he also become so serious. He said, what is this? Just because I am born to the mother who is the first wife of the king. So the king says, no. The second wife child can sit, but not this one. So, again, Dhruva Maharaj, of course he was a child, but he is very determined. Because the mother said, no, you want, you better go and get the lot. Just cling on to the lot. Go and think of the Lord and pray to Him, and He will be able to clear your this problem of being unable to sit on the parents. Everything you can clear. And so, when he was going, Narada Muni intersected and he came and he said, where are you going? You small child, where are you going? In the forest. He said, forest is not your place. You better go back. Your determination is nice, but you are not, you know, why in this small age, why you want to go and suffer like this? So he said, no. Please let me have that thing. If you can give, that will be nice. But if not, please leave me alone, I want to go. So when Narada Muni saw this determination, he immediately gave. He said, all right, I'll give it to you. And then he gave him the blessing. And that blessing is so wonderful that he asked himself, and you know what Dhruva asked? He said, please show me your mercy to fulfill my desire. Please give me your mercy. See, such a sadhu, when he gives the mercy, you are sure to get it. Because Krishna will fulfill at all costs. And you see, very fast, he gave the mantra and he went there, and Dhruva kept on chanting, and so fast, very fast he got Krishna. Already come. In his Garuda Vahan, he was already there. Just see how powerful a personality he is. So, when we talk about all this personality and all that, we'll be thinking, oh my God, who is this personality? Where did he come from? How did he actually came into this world? Actually, he was, you know, before he actually became Narada, born as Narada, as Lord Brahma's son, he was actually born to a maidservant. So this maidservant, of course, is very poor, you know, living with very little means and all that. But the beautiful part of it is, this particular maidservant, she liked to serve the sadhus. You know, when we have this Chaturmasya, the 4 months where the rainy season, so the sadhus will come and stay in that particular house. So when they come to this kind of places, they like to stay in a place where, you know, there is no so much of this materialistic. So his house is one of them, you know, you come and stay. And there, the mother would serve this sadhu. And our Narada Muni was a small child, when he was a child, that was his material, you know, his material body. Okay? That one, he was actually serving this sadhu. Imagine such a small child when he serves It's wonderful. The sadhu feels, you know, how great and how fortunate he must be, of course, to serve. So he used to serve, and at one time he even, you know, he used to, you know, after they have taken, you know, they have put the remnant, he will ask the sadhu, can I have your remnant? And they will give you. Small child, of course they will give. That is why very important. These remnants are very, very, very important. They are not ordinary food. They are even greater than the prasadam. They are greater than prasadam. Potentially. So like that he used to take the remnant. And finally the month, the 4 months are over and the sadhus go off. Again they go off to the other holy dams and all that. And so he was left alone, and in due course a snake bite his mother, and the mother died. So he was left alone. Nobody to look after. He's a child, nobody to look after. But the kind of bhakti and the enlightenment he got from the sadhus and the way he developed it was so great that he went and slowly went and sat one side and started practicing devotional service. And then he said, alright, since now my mother has also gone, my dear Krishna, you are so merciful. Because that's the only attachment I ever had. Because he was the only child and therefore the mother was so attached to him. And now, you have released me of all these to specially concentrate on you. So he went off and he went to the forest and there he was sitting down and meditating on the Lord. What was he meditating? Not the whiteness, not the jodi, not the nothingness, no. He is meditating on the Lord's form, as Krishna. He is meditating on the Lord. So when he was meditating, and when he was absorbed in sankh, with his ecstasy, immediately the Lord just appeared within his heart. And he could see the Lord so beautiful in that four-handed form. So beautiful he was exhibiting himself. So when he was exhibiting the Narada Muni could not take it. It was such a great ecstatic feeling, because seeing is sometimes, you know, we can feel, you know, how great personalities when we are about to meet and all. You know, when we may plan so many things, and when we go and see that person, immediately all black out. Because the respect and everything we have for that particular person may be so great that when we come into eye contact, we find it difficult. In person, we just simply can't. So similarly, can imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead is now in his heart and exhibiting directly to him. And so he could see him, the Lord. He got almost completely immersed and his tears were just going down. That was the end. He got completely blur, and then completely, you know, the eyes all became very blur, so he cannot see. The vision also become blur, and Krishna disappeared. And then he tried, where can I get Krishna again? He meditated and meditated and meditated. He could not see Krishna. Then when Krishna saw, wow, immediately, you know, he came as a sound vibration, as a sound incarnation, and then he told, my dear Narada, please, in this lifetime, you will never see me again. This is for your encouragement. Because you have such a determination to see me, I assure you, you can see me, but not this life. This will be able to give you more enthusiasm so that you can continue to focus on me. So he disappeared, and then Later on, when he perfected himself with all the kind of things that the sadhus and the sages taught him, and he meditated on and he did the service, devotional service, and he focused on the Lord, and eventually he got the Lord sitting in his heart. Then of course the dissolution came and he was going back, okay, into Vishnu. And then after that, again the next millennium started after Lord Brahma again woke up and started. When he started off, again he has to start off with great personalities, you know, to help him in his creation. And Narada Muni, one of them, was born for this purpose, to help Lord Brahma in his creation. So you see, he is a great personality. He is something which is very difficult. That's why Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling, he is welcoming Narada Muni, and he is telling in his sabha, you know, he is telling, wherever you are present, that place becomes sanctified, because the Lord Himself is always seated in your heart. Wherever He is, He sanctifies the place. So if we need sanctification, invite sadhus, sages like this. Great. So, and then Narada Muni, as we know, he is a great traveler. He can go. He has a curse that he cannot stay in one place. And he was so rejoiced when he heard that curse from the Muni. So he was happy. Oh, wonderful. This is nice. So I need not have to stay at one place. I can go around preaching and preaching and preaching. Endless preaching. So he was very happy. So he is traveling all over the universe since then and enlightening everyone. Anyone he come across, he enlightens. I think just a couple of days ago, you should have heard about this Murghari Handa, how he completely take him out of his sinful activities and brought him as one of the great devotees. However, one day, Narada Muni went to Vaikuntha and he was with Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan is the boss of Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Lok. So Lord was actually, you know, you will always find, even in Dwaraka, when he goes and see Krishna, you see immediately Krishna will stand up. Please come. Imagine Krishna himself will stand and welcome Narada Muni. I mean, what kind of great personality he is. So similarly, Lord Narayan, yes, he invited him, he said, yes, what can I do for you? Yeah, you look so nice. You always look cheerful, very cheerful and all that. So he said, my dear Lord, you know, I'm just coming from the bulo and there are so many things. And you know, the one of the great wonders that I come across is, I don't know how all these people are caught up in this material world, in this illusion, in your illusory energy. How on earth they could, I mean, and they do, and they are doing things which are so foolish and madness, sheer madness. What they are not, and they are thinking this is it and that is it, and they are fighting for it and they are living with it, and they are fighting with one another to establish something which is actually not there. And they are simply in this illusion. So what is this, your illusion so strong about? Why? I mean, I can't understand. So can you just give me a glimpse of it? What is it actually? Can you explain? Why this kind? And so Lord Narayan said, I mean, it is not a good proposal, Narada Muni, because my illusory energy is very powerful. So Narada Muni said, yeah, I know it's powerful, but I am too a great sage. I am also a great sage. So I can withstand. I know the facts behind. Then Krishna said, yes, you have perfected yourself and all this, that's nice. But if you were to face it, it is not going to be easy. But anyway, my duty is to fulfill the desire of everyone, especially my devotees. So therefore he said, all right, please come. Please come. Let's go. So he brought Narada Muni. And in the very next second, they were walking through a beautiful garden. So many wonderful, wonderful trees and grasses, patches and beautiful flowers. And he was walking through, nice fragrant smell and everything, so nice. And he was walking through with the Lord. Narayan is walking, Narada Muni is all walking together. And imagine, and they came to a one junction. And then the Lord said, my dear Narada Muni, you know what? I'm feeling a bit thirsty. Please go and get me some water. So Narada Muni started looking around, he see where is water, can I get one stream? You know, there must be a good stream, nice stream. Then he looked around, he couldn't find, and the Lord said, no, no, don't worry about water. The stream is there. So he said, just go, turn right and you will see, you will come to the stream. It's a beautiful stream, very nice. Just get some water from it. So he went there. And while he was taking the water, you know, he was thinking, how am I going to carry the water now? Because he doesn't have a small pot or anything. So if he carries it in the hand, then nothing is going to be left. So he was trying and looking around and all these things. So he went and there was a small hut. So he went there and then he saw there was nobody in the house except for one young girl. Very beautiful. So immediately our Narada Muni said, can I have a small pot or something like that? He said, yeah, very, oh, you want a pot? Yeah, you want to carry water? All right, I'll get for you and all this. So, I mean, the form of the lady was already so captivating for him. What to speak about speaking? So when he heard her speak, he again went completely crazy. So immediately he called for the lady and he couldn't take it. He said, my dear lady, can I marry you? Lord prospect, can I marry you? So the lady said, well, I don't mind. You are such a nice, handsome, wonderful personality. Why not? I don't mind. But you must of course go and see my father and talk to him and all that. Then my father will have to have it. So, fair enough, he went and asked his father. The father agreed and he went on. And then he was, immediately he got married. So he got married and settled down and there. And then he was looking around and what he saw, he find that the life was so nice, okay. So everything was going on fine, but then immediately, slowly, the lady started, my dear husband, what is happening? If you just keep on staying here, then what will go into our mouth? So you have to go and do some work and something and get it for me. Otherwise, how the house will run? And not only that, we need a house. This is my father's house. So therefore, Narada Muni got no choice. He started working in the outside. You know, he put up some plant and he started putting in vegetables, these, that, all this kind of thing and start growing and becoming a farmer. So he became a farmer. So after some time, he slowly started. This already quietened the wife. Okay, wife feels, okay, nice, good, money is coming, okay, some form of food and all these things are coming. sell up our goods. And then he went to the forest, cut some nice tree and all that, and he made a nice house. Okay, very nice. The wife also got happy and all this. So eventually he got a son. So the son, once the son comes, then the mother already started, hey, what is this? We got a son, you know. We have to make sure we look after. So he needs extra things, you know. So he had to work extra hard for all this. So he got no choice. He had to go and work and this and that. And he started, you know, all this. He was completely immersed in this material, this kind of householder life. He became a householder. And he was completely absorbed. And what happened one day? Flood. There was a great flood. This river started overflowing because of heavy rain. Heavy rain and start flooding, and the banks were running aside and all were going and then coming to his, almost to his house. So his child was playing and he went and then he started playing with the water, and eventually he was washed down to the water. And he started shouting, "Father, help me!" And then our Nagamuni, he came, he was thinking, what has happened now? So he ran out of the house to see, what a shock! My son has been now washed by the water in the stream, going down. So he ran after and jumped down and then hold him tight with another small branch he could get on the side, one tree branch, and then he was holding on. At the same time, the wife came. The wife saw, oh my goodness, what is this? My son is going in the water like that, and my husband is also struggling like this. Oh my God, my husband also was very hard to come out. My son also is now finding very difficult. So the wife was so in anxiety, she also started jumping and this, and then she also went into the river. So she also started falling into the river, and she's shouting another side. Another side, she's crying. My dear Lord, please help me, what is this? You see, then he is now in a dilemma. Who to save, the wife or the son? Both he requires. So he is crying. Oh, my wife, my church, oh, gone. Oh, why you are like this and now, oh, you might be. He was crying like anything. And he don't know what to do, he was crying. And while he was crying, he completely got carried off. He was crying. The Lord came, tapped him on his shoulder. My dear Narada Muni, what is happening? I'm still waiting for the water. Where's the water? I sent you to bring some water, and you are now, what is this, coming and doing? A great householder life is going on here. Huh? What is this? So then immediately the whole thing just disappears, and the Lord says, this is my life. You can cover anyone and everyone. So that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if at all my very, very, very powerful. If at all you want to overcome it, you can only overcome it by devotional service to me. Chanting the holy name and devotional service to me, that's the way. So therefore, Narada Muni is a great personality, he is not a kind of a small, tiny person. And then he will go on to Kapila Dev. Lord Kapila Dev is an incarnation of the Lord. So he is also a great personality. Now Krishna is comparing him. Among sages, he is great. Yes, he is great. He actually is the one who actually brought about the Sankhya philosophy. That's the one Prabhupada mentioning in the Prabhupada. He brought about, and that Sankhya philosophy is very, very powerful, and that's actually the base standard of all our philosophy. Our self-realization, you see, that is the basic. The basic. And he was born to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni, is his son, and Devahuti, the mother. And later when Kardama Muni goes to the forest to do some tapas and he's enlightening, he said his householder life is enough. Now the son is grown up, son is up there, he can look after. So he left mother Devahuti under the care of Kapiladev, and he took over. And Kapiladev instructed his mother. There are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful instructions that he gives to his mother, and it is one of the top class chapter. You can actually, you don't mark it down and really read it, and that is one of the chapters you can go through where Kapiladev instructs his mother. And one of the things that he narrates to the mother. Imagine, if we ask a description of hell, or what is hell, how does the hell look like, or how, what happens? Many people think, what happens if I die? When a person dies with sinful activities, what happens to him? Everyone normally say, he goes to hell. How he goes to hell? Yamaraj will, Judha will come and take him to hell. In this particular episode, Lord Kapiladev gives a wonderful description of how a living entity will completely absorb in sense gratification and commit so much of sinful activities in order to fulfill his sense gratification. What happens to this such a soul when he dies? So there was one householder, and he was completely absorbed in his house, and of course he was earning a lot of money. To him, I'm earning for my family, so what? But the means in which he earns, he has to work very hard, and of course he also has to do a lot of sense gratification. That means you are actually stealing the things which belongs to Krishna without giving him. So therefore, he was going on that race, and this householder was doing so much of this thing, and in order to fulfill the desires of all his family members, he has to go and do a lot of black money. He has to do a lot of earning where he has to commit a lot of sinful activities. And finally, his dying day came, and he died. Okay, I'll do a little fast track. Okay, he, of course, when Kapiladev is giving, he gives in very, very detail. Okay, I'm going a little fast because of the time constraint. So then, he was immediately arrested by the Yamadutas because he's sinful. Sinful person means Yamadutas will come to take. So he was bound by the neck, and then they covered his subtle body. You know what is subtle body? Subtle body is the intelligent ego and mind. These are three subtle bodies. Cover and take him off. And when they take him off, he is taken on a road. And in that road, the two sides, it is said, the top, the sun was blasting, so very hot, very hot. No clouds or nothing, it's completely directly, and so hot. And at the bottom, the sand is already burning heat. Because of the sun, hot sun, is burning. And on the side, two sides, forest is burning. Forest fire is going on the two sides. Up there the sun, the bottom was burning also with the sun's heat, the sand, the road going. And he was pulled and he was taken. And while he is going, he is remembering, the video starts running. Yamaraj made such an arrangement whereby you will get your video running in your mind of all the sinful activities that you have done in this life. Time. And what are waiting for you? What are the things that are waiting for you? So, all these are actually, it is said, is the charge sheet to which our Yamaraj will be writing the sentence there, what you have been suffered for. So he started remembering, and when he starts seeing all these things, he is struck with wonder and he is just in full distress. And here the heat is killing him. And in this under scorching sun, he is, you know, they have to reach, they got so many, you know, the Yamadutas, he got so many people to look after. How many people are dying these days? So many cases have to go. A lot of sinful activities are there. So therefore, a lot of trips to Yamadutas. Yamadutas have to go to Yamalok, bring him there. And they have to go fast. It is stated, that 2 to 3 moments to bring. And in that moment, it's all this that is happening. He is suffering. He cannot walk because of the heat. And he is weak. And then he cannot walk. So tired. And he is full of hunger and thirst. But nothing to eat. No such thing as eating. No rest. There is no rest house or restaurant or anything nearby. Nobody. Wait, go. And therefore he got no place even to rest. So he is brought up like that, and then you find that he gets no chance to go on, and he falls down and becomes unconscious because of his fatigue. But they have no mercy. Wake up. You don't deserve all these things. You don't deserve. You are such a sinful man, so therefore, you don't deserve. Come on, wake up. Whip him and wake him up. And he started going again. So like that, he was going on and on until a few moments. But this moment was the worst kind of moment he can think of. He reached Yamaraj abode, which is, he said, is about something like 792,000 miles. And he reached. And there he is brought, and immediately the sentence are all done, because the charge sheet already on the way, you already got everything. You got nothing to appeal. There is no appeal court and not all these courts. One. Single. Already written. This is it. Can you say no? Whatever is been done and shown to you, can you say no? Because they are all actual. And therefore, faith, bring in Yamaraj. Okay, take him on. This is the sentence. And there the sentence starts. The next phase of his torture begins. And then he is going to be placed in the piece of wood, in the midst. Put him in the center, put piece of wood around him, and then his limbs are set on fire. You know, his hands are put on fire. And we may wonder, how come, you know, all this, is it true? If we try and put fire on our limb, what will happen? We will die. Eventually we will die. We can't take it that long. We will faint or we will die. But in the Yamalok, it's not like that. The body cannot be destroyed by any material means. The body can only die when your time is up. Whereas here, no. Untimely death can happen. But in here, in this Yamalok, no. Even in heavenly planets, also same. The body cannot die. You will only die when your lifespan is end. It ends. If you are meant to live there 1,000 years, then 1,000 years you will live. You will never be shortened. So similarly, our Yamaraj also keeps that track. He also keeps exact. So, here it burns. and you can feel all the pain of how the, when the fire is put on and how the feeling and your hand burning, but you cannot do anything. You can simply see and suffer. So, like that he went on suffering, and then again he put on next plate, go and eat your own flesh. Eat your own flesh. You want a lot of flesh? Never mind. Come. Eat your own flesh and see. And is also others will be asked to come and eat this flesh. So when you eat the flesh, what happens? Flesh comes out. Blood coming, blood is pouring, losing out. You just have to see and suffer the pain. Your pain will be all exactly like what we are suffering now, but you cannot do anything. The mercy which the Lord gives in this particular part of Bhulok is that at least when such things do happen because of some accident or whatever, unconsciousness come about. Immediately knocks you off. And if still too much of blood, you'll die. You see, the thing goes and then that's it. The pain ends there. But in Yamalok, no. It continues. And then the entrails are pulled out by the hounds and vultures of the hell. You know what the entrails? The internal organs. Internal organs, the vultures and the hounds. They will come, just pull it out. Like a dog, you know, you come, very powerful dog, you know, some very strong, violent dog. They can just, you know, take out and pull the intestine out of a person. So similarly, this hound and all this of the hell, they are not ordinary. They have got extra power. They will just come and pull out. And you see, you are living to see all these things. You see your intestine being thrown apart, but you are not dying. But all the suffering that you have to go through, you have to go through. The pain is extra. It's an extreme pain. And then he's bitten by serpents, scorpions and so on. All these kind of creatures are biting from every corner. So like this he undergoes so much of pain and suffering. Then slowly put him on and he gets the elephant to lop off their arm. Pull on both sides, just pull and the whole arm just comes out. And you see the arm going one side here, one side there, and the whole thing and you know your whole this part here all hanging. And so much of flesh and blood and all these, and you are really in real dilemma. You don't know what to do. You cannot do anything. We can do nothing. We can just look at it. You cannot appeal to Yamaraj or Yamadudas and say, never mind, I will not do it anymore. I ask for sorry. Sorry, sorry. The famous word. Everything you do, you say sorry and it's all over thing. But in there, no. In there, no such thing. Understand? So therefore, like that, then his suffering there finished, then he goes into the lower form. He comes to the blue lobe and he goes into the lower form, become animal or bird or beast and all these and suffer and come up. And then finally we get this human birth. That is why we have to understand that our birth as human is special. So we have to take care of it. That's why Krishna giving so much of special emphasis on human birth and giving us Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and all this so that the people can come back to me. So we will stop here. Probably we can take maybe one question. Okay. So we have the end here. The time is due to time constraint. So we will stop here. Grandhas Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Puri Vaishnavandi ki jai. Jai.
Jai.
Prabhupada ki jai.